Every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. I love that music. I don't know why. It always puts a smile on my face, so it's always a good way to start the show. The topic of today's show is schizophrenia. Not such an easy topic to talk about, but one that's really, really interesting, and one that affects a lot of lives and a lot more lives than we even acknowledge. And we'll talk about that in a moment when we get into talking about schizophrenia and I highlight some of the issues that have to do with the stigma of schizophrenia. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. This week, we will highlight the issues associated with this very severe mental health problem and the difficulties experienced by the families of those who live with schizophrenia. If you have any questions about the topic, call me today and ask them. If you're living with schizophrenia or you have a loved one with schizophrenia, feel free to call and weigh in. Talk about the subject with me. The number at which to reach us today is 649-9737. 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. I'm happy to send you a link to my site if you email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters urmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. One of my thoughts for a future show, and you can weigh in and let me know what you think about this, is why some people are always early, why some people are always late, and why some people are really good at getting there right at the right time. What is that? And is that a mental health issue? Anyway, back to the topic of schizophrenia. As you know, schizophrenia is a mental disorder, and it's what you see with somebody who has schizophrenia is they have disintegrated thought processes, and they are odd in how they respond affectively in terms of their emotional responses to things. That becomes odd. And people with schizophrenia have auditory hallucinations, and that means they hear things. They sometimes have paranoid or other kinds of bizarre delusions, and this permeates their thinking. Some people might have a little bit of paranoid delusion. Some people might have a little bit of that or might have some kind of fixed delusion. And it isn't schizophrenia. It's almost a separate part of their psyche. But with schizophrenia, it permeates a lot of their thinking when they're not on medication. Paranoid or bizarre delusions. They're often disorganized in how they talk. And their thinking is disorganized as well. With people who have schizophrenia, they often have severe dysfunction in their social interactions, and they have severe dysfunction in their ability to function in an occupation. The beginning of these symptoms often come, typically come, in young adulthood. you may begin to see these symptoms in late adolescence and somewhere through 25. So let me just give you a little story about this. And we're talking about schizophrenia today on Mental Health Matters. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters on WRIR 97.3 FM. And if you'd like to speak to me today about this topic, it's 649-9737, 649-9737. So imagine that you're raising a child and you have watched this child manage each one of his developmental steps, and he seems happy, well-adjusted, makes friends, seems to be, you know, have some of the ups and downs of childhood, some of the maladies that other children might have. They may be a little worried, more worried than you think they should, or maybe even not. Maybe they're fearless. But nothing that they have shown you through the age of 13, 14, seemed out of the ordinary at all. They were in contact with you. They were able to make and maintain friends. And all of a sudden, in their early adolescence, they begin to isolate a little bit, and they begin to become remote. And you might notice that they begin to talk about things that don't really make sense to you. You talk about this to your doctor or your friends, and they all say, oh God, adolescents are all a pain in the butt, and he's going to grow out of it, and don't worry about it. Then this child, and that makes you feel better, and, you know, they're still functioning at school, they're still relatively connected, and by the time they're 16, they aren't as well adjusted as your other children, but they're not so different that it would scare you. They finish high school and go on to college, and when they're a freshman in college, you get a call from the school, the dean of students, and he calls you and he says, your son is having what appears to be a psychotic break. And you just can't even imagine how that could be. Because this really is, I am describing very, very often the onset of schizophrenia. It comes out of the blue. These individuals come from all different kinds of families. And you can't predict it, because until the symptoms show up, you don't know it's there. And then the odyssey, and it's not a fun one, begins. Why do people get schizophrenia? Well, it's genetically predisposed. Some people say it's early environment, but I don't believe that is true. I think that you might be predisposed to all sorts of mental health problems, that if you grow up in a chaotic world or a poorly put together world, or your early environment doesn't allow you to bond well, you might manifest mental health problems. But with schizophrenia, people manifest these symptoms apropos of nothing. It's probably a neurobiological problem. And then when we look at the psychological, what we would find is that those psychological issues have more to do with the person's ability to function once they do become diagnosed with this, and whether they have some compensatory skills to help themselves. Current research is really focused on the role of neurobiology, although no single isolated organic cause has ever been found. And I think that's important to know. This is a bit and continues to be a mystery to us. The many possible combinations of symptoms have triggered debate in whether the diagnosis represents a single disorder or a number of discrete syndromes. And in truth, they don't know. We don't know. And schizophrenia does present itself in different ways, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But what I do want to differentiate right now is, you know, we talk a lot about in the media these days, people throw that term around, split personality disorder, multiple personality disorder. It's not even really called that anymore, but that's okay. It's called dissociative identity disorder. But it's important for you to know that dissociative identity disorder, multiple personality disorder, whatever you want to call it, is not schizophrenia. It's not schizophrenia. That is a whole other process that does have much to do with childhood and trauma, and we can talk about that at another time. It's actually a very interesting topic, and we'll talk about it another time. But that is not what I am talking about. The word schizophrenia has its roots in the Greek, and it means sort of to have a split mind. But again, we are not talking about dissociative disorder. Okay, so we know that this disorder is affects your ability to think. And it affects how you behave and how you feel. So you can have additional mental health problems with this. You can come in and out of having major depression, anxiety, and what really becomes scary is if you start to self-medicate and you get addicted to alcohol or drugs. This really becomes a problem. What we know about schizophrenia is that people who have this disorder often become unemployed and homeless. They have severe social problems, and their average life expectancy is probably a good 15 years less than those without this, because of increased health problems and suicide, and that's because their lives are difficult, and they don't always get proper nourishment, they aren't taken care of, so many of them wind up on the street, and the United States of America does not offer comprehensive, ongoing treatment for people who are both impoverished and mentally ill, and that's just the truth. We used to store people away in state hospitals, and when we decided that that was inhumane, we were going to create neighborhood and mental health centers that were community-based, and those mental health centers are ill-equipped, ill-staffed, ill-funded, and the need is huge, and people are not getting the kind of care that they need. So many of these individuals need ongoing hands-on care. As I said, there's no way of preventing schizophrenia, but there is a way of teaching people who have a chronic mental health problem like this all sorts of compensatory skills that will enable them to function at the best of their ability. And it seems as if the best combination for these individuals is to have a community-based mental health center, a community-based support system, a place to live where they have a good balance of independence and some help, and they are on proper ongoing medication. And we're actually going to talk about medication in a moment. But let me talk a little bit about the family struggle that is part and parcel of having a family member or a child who is diagnosed with schizophrenia. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. We're talking today about schizophrenia. It's a difficult topic it's a difficult problem for people. I would not wish schizophrenia on my worst enemy. It's a terrible mental health problem to have to live with, And my heart goes out to those, and my hat goes off to those who live with schizophrenia and manage to manage themselves in the here and now so that they can have the best life that they are able to have. So now let's go back to talking about family members of schizophrenics. So what happens is, let's go back to the young man I just talked about who might then be diagnosed with schizophrenia in early adulthood. So he has his first psychotic break, and his parents are absolutely horrified at what's happened. And their child, who was warm and funny and connected and clear thinking, who might have had a few idiosyncrasies but had friends, even though he may have begun to pull away from his friends a little bit and isolated himself just a little bit, but he seemed like a fairly normal kind of guy. And now he is disintegrated and in the hospital and unable to think clearly, and he's having visual hallucinations, auditory hallucinations, which are the most common, having auditory hallucinations, and he is completely disintegrated in his thinking. He gets hospitalized. He sees a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist puts him on some antipsychotic medications, and his symptoms clear up, and he seems to be doing a little bit better. But he's not the same. His affect is dull. He's scared to death. He wants to know if this is going to happen to him again. He begins to live with chronic anxiety. And you as a parent begin to get hopeful and just send him back to college. He manages to finish the year, manages to come home for the summer. He's a little dull. He's a little isolated. He's not able to get a summer job. But he seems like he's going to be okay, and it's going to be okay, and he wants to go back to school. He's on his medication. His mouth is dry. He doesn't have much energy. And he's trying to be hopeful. You're trying to be hopeful. Send him back to college for a second year. And even though he's taking his medication, the stress of school becomes overwhelming. He goes out with a bunch of friends one night, and just like everybody else in their sophomore year of college, he drinks too much, and the next morning he wakes up, he's got a splitting headache, and he is a little off. He begins to hear voices. He begins to think he's not supposed to take his medication anymore, and the next thing you know, he's having a second psychotic break. This time he's not able to deal with going back to college or dealing with the stress. This becomes a cycle of hope and of disappointment. And you as a parent think that somehow you can protect your child from the hell that his life is about to become. And it is so heartbreaking because you can't. What you can do is support them, make sure they get the best of help that's available to them. Certainly if they have health insurance, at least they can go see a private practitioner. And you begin to be on this roller coaster with them. Herein lies the problem. You age and they age. You no longer feel like you can go on vacation. You're afraid to leave him in the house. You alter your own relationship with your spouse or with your friends or with your other children. And in short order, everything in your life is now focused on the fear of your child having another psychotic break or the horror of living through your child having another psychotic break. And you can't hover over this child enough to keep him from having to go through this. And one of the problems with schizophrenia in young adulthood is that young adult hasn't launched themselves yet. So they haven't garnered the skills they need to just live in the world in the way that other children, other young adults at that age are beginning to try to garner those skills. Another problem is that there's such a there's such a tough stigma attached to mental illness that you begin to find that your friends don't want to come over to your house because they don't want, they're a little anxious and afraid of your child. Everything can fall apart in the course of trying to take care of this one very ill person in your family. And what's important for families to understand is that this child still needs to launch. And this child cannot live under your watchful eye for the rest of his or her life unless you want to commit your life to taking care of this child, because it isn't good for him or her, and it isn't good for you. You have to begin then to go to the websites, National Institute of Mental Health, your local NAMI, and begin to get information about support groups, about respite care, about group homes for children, group homes for young adults with severe mental health disorders. And you have got to believe that you are allowed to have a life outside of taking care of this child, of your child, or your brother, or your nephew, or whatever, a family member with this kind of horribly chronic disease. You know, any chronic illness is tough on a family. And really, I think the difference with this chronic illness is that there is such a stigma attached to it, and there's so much misinformation that people are afraid. And, you know, what's true about people with schizophrenia is that if they are not using drugs and if they're not living on the street, you really have nothing to fear from them. They're the ones who are living in their own private hell that they might be difficult to communicate with, but you really don't fear anything. You really don't have anything else to fear from them. So let's begin now to talk about the management of schizophrenia. And so the first line of course, as we know, or maybe we don't, the first line of help for people who are diagnosed with schizophrenia after their first break is that they would begin to look at that they would get on some medication. So let's talk about medication. But before I talk about medication, let me just very quickly talk to you a little bit about the different kinds of schizophrenia that's possible to wind up with. And one kind is called paranoid type, and these delusions and hallucinations are present, but thought. I'm sorry, I can't even speak. Okay, so paranoid schizophrenia is where your delusions and hallucinations are about the fear and belief that other people are in a large way organized against you, that's what your delusions are, and that's what your auditory hallucinations are about, and it's very, very present in one's thoughts, and they have disorganized behavior, and you see people who might just not be able to make connections with anyone because everyone then becomes part of their belief system that the world is organized against them. The disorganized type, that's another kind of schizophrenia, and what you would see is a very flat affect and a thought disorder, and perhaps not so much a fixed paranoid ideation, but you'd see very confusing circular thinking, a flat affect, and not being able to put their thoughts together in a cogent way to manage anything that is one needs to manage in order to make their life functional. The other kind is very, very rare. It's called the catatonic type, and that's very rare. And what you would see is just this complete and total immobility, unable to move, and you really just don't see this very often. They look like they're in a stupor. The undifferentiated type is that there are psychotic symptoms, but there's no absolute criteria for paranoid, disorganized, or catatonic. You'd see a little bit of everything going on, maybe, and it's hard to really put your finger on it. Okay, so what's the first thing you're going to do? The first thing you're going to do is, of course, find out if there's a decent medication to get on. The problem with these medications is that they are very, they have some very bad side effects. Today, there are decent medications that can have very positive, can really reduce the symptoms and allow people to think and function. Unfortunately, they also can cause all sorts of side effects, and you have to have a really good psychiatrist to work with who will try different meds and try different support meds to also keep the schizophrenic individual from becoming depressed or having side effects from their medication. And then the trick is to have, as I said before, a multi-pronged approach to treating schizophrenia. Medications, a connection to a social, to having an ongoing counselor, support group, a place to live where an individual has the freedom to live as an adult, but also has the supports built in for the help that they need. Today, this is Gail Moskowitz. We're talking about schizophrenia. It's not an easy topic to talk about. This disease affects about 5% of the population, and we don't have enough resources for individuals with schizophrenia. So my best advice to you today is don't be afraid and don't run away from people who are struggling with this. They need our compassion. This is Gail Moskowitz. This is Mental Health Matters. I come to you every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next week again.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.